You might be hearing a little bit of sound. It's the bath being drawn for my children.
That's fine.
Hopefully you can't.
There's always a little bit of like children chatter in the background on your side. I actually kind of like it.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That you just get a little bit of like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
I don't know why I felt the need to start down here. Last time, our last episode, I was like, hi, Vanya. So I thought I would start in this register
like,
instead.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Mike Jensen.
Hi, everyone.
I also have a low voice. I was one of those kids. I was one of those kids who had like a low voice when I was a little kid. People were like, where are you from? And I'm like, kiss my butt. I'm kidding. By the way, guys, Mike Jensen bleeped me and I laughed so hard when I was listening to the episode. I didn't text you about it because I wanted to tell you. I wanted proof that I just loved it. I thought it was great. But you know, sometimes you need the F word and sometimes you need a bleep. And so it was great. It was perfect.
Listen, I'm actually a huge fan of the F word. Like I really, really enjoy it. I was raised, yeah, like we didn't swear at all growing up.
Yeah.
And I remember turning like 18 or 19 and I was in college and I said the F word for the first time and it felt so good.
Wow. Really? You waited that long? Oh my God. I'm pretty sure I was in like second grade or something. my parents also didn't allow cursing in our house, but my dad had a pretty interesting mouth when he talked with his friends. So I heard it a lot. I heard a lot.
No. I actually think that a bleep is just funny sometimes.
Oh, I love it. It was just, I literally guffawed. And my kids were like, what is wrong with you, mommy?
So how is your week going? You're in your new job and everything.
It has been like a freaking whirlwind. It's so funny. I think I usually have so much time to really think about what I'm doing. But no, it's been great. It's been busy. And, you know, dealing with the kids are being watched by one of my closest friends. And so they're taken care of, but it's also just like weird not being with them all the time. I'm happy about it. Trust me. It's not like, listen, we need separation to make this relationship work. Me and the kids and even me and my husband, you know, it's like I need to have time. But, you know, one thing I realized, there's like a phenomenon or whatever they call, I don't know if it's a phenomenon, but it's a thing. It's called to be touched out. So it's like it happens to a lot of parents where you're just like, you can't be touched. Like I'm always being touched by the kids. Like somebody's either on me, touching me, la la la, you know, like whatever. And so I realized I have been touched out for the last 9 months. And now that I have this new job, I'm feeling like a little bit more like myself. It's weird. So that's my week. It's not exciting, but that is my week. I have nothing to report, but like railroad train. Whoa. Super fast. How about you?
Yeah, you can't be around anybody all the time. And I, especially like in this place where we are right now, because we are sort of trapped in our homes a lot of the time, it can get a little intense because you do need time away from anybody.
Yeah. No, it's true. And you need time with yourself too. And that's really hard.
Well, yeah, 100%.
To have when, you know, when you live with people in a house.
Yeah.
Or a you know. A rental, as we do.
I will say that I already texted with you about this a little bit, but I thought it was really funny because for those that don't know, and I assume everyone listening to this knows this, that Vanya has a different podcast she does with our friend Avrin.
Yeah.
And it's called Rom Crime. And the first season was all kind of like criminal activities that had like a romantic undertone or some kind of like relationship involved. And then this year they're doing stories about vigilantes, and their last episode they recapped a movie called Eye for an Eye.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. It's really funny because they get to the end and you were both kind of like, I mean, this isn't a movie that like someone would own and like want to like ever watch again.
Oh my God. I forgot.
And I thought it was so funny. So I texted Vanya. I was like, I just think you should know that I bought that DVD probably like 6 months ago. I bought that DVD.
That is so funny. I'm dying.
And I bought the DVD to replace the VHS tape that I had of it before that I've had for like since it came out on VHS. So I'm that weirdo that would own a movie like that and would watch it.
It's so funny. Yeah, we're doing movie shows once a month, or especially right now during the holidays. We're keeping it light near the holidays, not too much murder.
Yeah.
Although that movie is pretty gross. If it really happened, which it sure this, yes, we know this happens, but it Yeah. Eye for an eye. Kiefer Sutherland's basically like a rapist.
He's just the devil. You guys are correct. Like, they don't give him any kind of like nuance. There's no kind of, you know, maybe sometimes he's not murdering puppies. Like, it's just all terrible all the time.
It's crazy. It's like, you would think, even as like an actor, I would fight for a moment so people could see some humanity, but really you just hate him the entire time. He like pours a hot cup of coffee on a dog and you're like, murder this person now. Like, kill him. And Sally Fields, she's great. She's so good in everything she does. She's awesome. So, well, I'm glad that you watched it, and I take that back. I do know someone who owns the DVD, and good for you. Good for you. No, good for you. Not for me.
Not for you. Yeah. It's funny. I have a really, really specific memory of that movie coming out, because when that movie came out, I was working at a movie theater.
Mm.
And I have such a memory of being in like the back room, like where we store the popcorn and all of that, with my coworkers, Nicole and Erica. And they had already seen the movie. And they were kind of talking about it. And I was like, listen, while I'm back here, just don't say anything explicit about it. Like, I haven't seen it yet. I really want to see it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll be really careful. And in their conversation, they literally said the ending of the movie, like told me how the movie ends.
Biatches.
And I got so mad. Yeah. I was like, why would you do that? I literally just said, please don't spoil anything. And you just told me the end of the movie. For those that don't know, I'm very anti-spoilers. They make me really, really angry.
I'm pro-spoilers for me, especially if it's a scary movie. So that's where we're yin and yang. It's great. Mike and I are just a perfect pair, honestly. That's so funny. But then when you watched it, I mean, you could kind of like figure that eye for an eye, something was going to happen, but just not in the exact.
Right. Sure. I mean, like, I feel like the poster is like her pointing a gun or something like that. That's so true. It's not out of nowhere. I had an interesting week, I guess. I guess I'm gonna tell a quick story, and then I'm gonna give a quick update on something.
Great.
So it was a very crazy week at my job. Friday, I only worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Friday, I went in, and basically anyone that's waited tables is in this day and age, you do everything on a computer. Like, everything, you enter a computer, you fire things, you run credit cards. It's all through computers.
Yeah.
Well, our computers kept shutting down.
Uh-oh.
So they would completely shut down. You couldn't do anything on them. And then you'd have to reboot the system. And then it would work for like 90 seconds. So we would all like be at a computer, like putting in the order as quickly as we possibly could until it would shut down again. And then you'd just be like, well, I can't do anything for like 3 or 4 minutes. And it was so stressful. And like the credit cards, because the credit cards take a while to reboot, you could never run a credit card. So the managers had to like go to the restaurant next door that is also the same owners and run all the credit cards for the same amounts that they would have been at the restaurant. And then we had to like void the, it was just one of those nights.
That sounds awful.
It was so terrible. And you can't explain to someone that you're waiting on, like, this is what's happening and this is why I can't get anything done. Like, I guess part of it is like, just have some mercy on your service person sometimes, because you have no idea what's happening behind the scenes.
That's true.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Ugh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was super, super stressful. And at the end of the shift, I think that there was maybe some thought that what I did after the shift had something to do with that. And it wasn't. I'd sort of made up my mind ahead of time. We're recording this on Tuesday. The day after yesterday, all indoor dining in New York City closed down. So we only have outdoor spaces. And I knew that when that happened, they were going to have to let at least one person go. So I don't have a job right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went to management that night and I said, you know, I think that I can survive. I think that I can get by for a couple of months. I still have, you know, I went back to work earlier than a lot of other employees. So I still have a little bit of unemployment coming my way. And I think that it would make more sense for you to lay me off than to like lay someone off who maybe doesn't have that safety net or who, you know.
Wow, you're too kind. You are such a sweetheart.
Well, I don't want to play it 100%, you know, I don't call myself a hero. No, like, I don't, you know, am I also kind of looking forward to maybe having a little bit of time down?
Yeah.
Yes, sure. So it felt like it kind of like served both things at once. But I'm a little freaked out.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about it, if I'm being totally honest with you. Like, it is scary. Like, we're not people who don't work. You know,
right. And it's like, if you, I mean, trust me, I've been out of work for quite some time. So it's like, you have to really make yourself you have to put it, give yourself a schedule of getting whatever you want to get done, and you have to stick to it.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, at least you'll feel like I worked, quote unquote, you know?
Right.
Because I know you have a lot of creative projects that you want to get done, but maybe just pick one. Be really simple with it. Like, don't push too far, you know? Write a song. Write a screenplay.
Yeah.
Something cool, you know?
Write the great next American novel.
Yeah. Less pressure than that. Less
so
pressure.
Anyway,
yeah.
So that just started. So this week I'm taking it kind of easy, though I have like made myself break out the guitar and play for a little bit every day just to like get myself in the routine of it. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. And we'll even see how long it is. Like, there's, who knows if indoor dining could be back sooner than later. And
right.
You just never know. So we'll see what happens. But
it's cold outside. It's so cold. So I'm glad you don't have to do that.
And yeah, right now it is 30 degrees out.
Damn. Dying people. I would be dying. Yeah, oh my gosh.
And they've already closed tomorrow. I just got word from a coworker, former coworker, and future coworker, that they've already closed tomorrow because there's a huge snowstorm coming through the city tomorrow. So, yeah, it's all pretty. It's all, that's where we are right now.
I'm so sad that you aren't going to be able to use my gloves that I got you.
I still have them. I have weights that like the things are coming apart, so they'll come in handy for that, definitely.
Oh, good. Yeah, you gotta pump that iron.
To protect my hands. So, right?
Yeah, you gotta pump that iron. So what are you digging this week? What are you digging?
So I'm digging two things specifically, but they're all under the umbrella of something else that I want to talk about.
Okay, great.
So two nights in a row, I watched two films that I really, really loved. So I watched, I'm sure you've seen stuff for that new Meryl Streep movie called Let Them All Talk.
Oh yeah, it's on Apple TV? No.
It's on HBO.
Oh, HBO.
Or yes. HBO Max, I suppose, to be specific with it. And it's very quiet in general. It's Meryl Streep, Diane Wiest, Candice Bergen, Lucas Hedges, Gemma Chan. Anyway, it's a cool cast. There apparently the screenplay was just like sort of a rough outline, and so much of it is improvised, which I feel like should have made me crazy, but you can't tell. Like, it feels really fully fleshed out.
Well, you have some heavy hitters, some very seasoned actors there.
Right. I mean, when you have them doing it, yeah. Steven Soderbergh's the director. I've seen some negative reviews being like, nothing happens, which is like the most annoying review for a film. Yeah. Like, some movies are just about like people talking, and like, that's fine.
Slice of life.
Right. Anyway. I was super into it. And then the next night I watched a movie called Mank, which is on Netflix.
Yes, I started that and I was too tired, but I was enjoying it, but I fell asleep. So
yeah, it is also fairly quiet. And you definitely have to, like, pay attention. Like, it's definitely a film that if I'd gotten on my phone one time, I would have just been gone. So definitely watch it when you're feeling rested.
Have some coffee.
Yeah, for sure. I loved it so much. Like, I thought it was so genius, like, brilliant. Like, the writing, the directing. So it's directed by David Fincher, who's such a great director.
Yes.
Who I probably could never work with because he likes to do, like, 100 takes, and that would make me crazy. It's actually based on a screenplay that his father wrote, and his father has since passed away. Oh, wow. So I'd be very curious to know like what all went into that. But it's basically the story of the screenwriter who wrote Citizen Kane. And I will confess, I saw Citizen Kane. I don't really get it. Like, it wasn't a film that really did anything for me, but I think it's one of those ones that if you know about, like, if you study filmmaking, it broke a lot of ground. Like, it did a lot of things for the first time.
It's considered, like, the best film.
Yeah, it's considered the greatest film of all time, which maybe I shouldn't have had that in my head when I was watching it, too. Right. And I wonder if I'd enjoy it more now, kind of, like, seeing what went on behind the scenes. Anyway, I thought it was a brilliant film. It is filmed as though it is a movie from that era. And it even has like screenplay elements that are part of the film where it says like such and such exterior. And anyway, I loved it so much. It's going to lend itself partly to my random fact that I'm going to talk about later. But the overall umbrella that I wanted to talk about is that it just occurred to me, and just occurred seems silly because we've been talking about award season.
Right.
But this season just feels and looks so different that it was watching these two movies in a row that I was like, oh, this is my season. Mm-hmm. My award show season is happening. And it's not the same as it usually is. It's not me going to the theater every day. It's not me like figuring out like what's playing what when. It's going to be a lot of watching the things from home. But like, it's still happening.
Yay.
And so that was really fun for me to acknowledge, like, oh, it's award season movies and they're happening and it's fun. So it's my season and I'm very excited about it. So there you go. That's what I'm digging right now.
Oh, I love that. I do. I love that. So mine is not as interesting, but I'm being honest here. I'm like, you know, I told you my week was crazy.
Right.
So, you know, there are two kinds of people. People who are bath people and people who there are shower people, right? Like, I always thought I'm a shower person because I'm always in a hurry. And seriously, I don't have time. I just don't have time. The last time I took a bath was the night I went into labor with my son. Because, and he's three. And if you can hear them, they are screaming in the bath right now. Because, you know, when you go into labor... I had a thing called Braxton Hicks like the week before, which means you think you're in labor, you think you're having contractions, but then they just go away magically and you're just like, what the hell? But my doula said, you know, go take a warm bath if you start to, you know, feel like you're having contractions. And then if it goes away, if the contractions go away, that's just Braxton Hicks. So I had been feeling kind of weird. And actually, that day I had had my DMV. I went to the DMV to get my California driver's license because just in case anyone moves to a new state and you're pregnant, get your new ID immediately because you can't get any of your benefits if you don't have your own that state ID. So I was like, I learned that really late in the game. I'm obviously 9 months pregnant and my boss let me took... And this was 2 weeks before my due date, but my boss let me take a break and I went and got my picture. It just, I look so swollen and red, very, very no. hot. I was waiting in line for like 3 hours. Anyways, that night I'm feeling the things. It's late. It's probably like 2 a.m. and I get in the bath and it does not go away. It intensifies and gross, but I lose my mucus plug and I'm like, the shit's on, because it's my second child. And so I was like, oh my god. So then I'm like, you know, have to get my husband, and that's a whole fun story for another time. So that was the last time I took a bath, and I just was like not into it. But this week was, you know, I'm thinking a lot, I'm learning new things, I'm a little stressed about lots of stuff that's going on in life. Side note, I'll get more on this later, but they're selling the place we're renting. So it's like just very stressful. I'm like, could y'all just wait a year or something? Anyways, so I'm sleeping with like my neck, my shoulders just clenched and like my jaw. So I'm stressed. So I was like, you know what? I've been working out and I was like, it was Sunday. The kids were hanging and playing with my husband. I'm like, I'm gonna take a bath with Epsom salt. Like I have some, it smells like lavender. I did it and I liked it. I'm surprised at myself. Like, I really liked it. It was very relaxing. And this is a dumb realization to probably most people, but a friend of mine had said that, you know, humans were meant to be submerged in water or not. You know, we want to live by water. We want to be in water. And we also want to be near fire sometimes because it's like that old, you know, human need. And I thought about that. I was like, well, I need to be. So, but it was great. And then the other thing that I'm loving is this stuff. It's called... And I bought it. We live in LA, so you can have THC products. It's targeted topical relief and it's body oil. And it's one in three THC rich. So there's over 400 milligrams of cannabinoids. But I use it on my neck because my neck goes out or whatever. You know, I can't move my neck. And it is amazing. It doesn't get you high at all, but it definitely releases everything. So it's not CBD. It's THC in this oil. But it's like amazing. Actually, I got it from my dad when he would come to visit because he's always in pain everywhere. I'm like, I'm using this. And it's freaking great. What's the brand? I can't even tell. Oh, Papa and Barkley. I think it might be for old people, actually. But it was, I actually did think it was shake well, apply oil liberally, and massage over body from head to toe until the oil is completely absorbed. I did not do that. I just rubbed it into my shoulder, but it worked, guys. And so doing a little self-care, whatever that means these days.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was good. I'm also drinking some bourbon. It's delicious.
I'm going to have a cocktail in a minute. Can you believe it's like 10:35 and I'm stone cold sober? What's happening here? Anything in particular like bumming you out this week? Well, anything you could do without?
Yes. And it has to do with the people selling the home. So it's a duplex. We live in a duplex and the people moved out of the other side of the duplex. So it's been so freaking loud and they're like doing work and painting and all this stuff. But they're able to show that part. But there's a lot of COVID rules. I mean... with people coming in. I don't want people to come into our house, but they want to take pictures. And I'm like, what? So they had scheduled to take pictures in our home just to, and I was like, can you just to use the pictures that we looked at when we were renting this place, you know, that we found. And I'm just like, my ego is like really not cool with this because first of all, I cannot make this place look nice. We're all here. There is a desk in my daughter and son's room. There's a desk in my room that I sit at. There's a desk in the other room. So it's three bedrooms, pretty great. But we have stuff is everywhere. It's like there's toys everywhere. So it's like my pride. It just looks like crap and it's not styled. And I guess I shouldn't care about that stuff. But I'm also, I don't want my stuff like forever memorialized on Zillow and Redfin. And like, oh, here's this nice open space. And you could clearly see that these people are really living in this house. So that is what I could do without. I hate it. And they ended up canceling. So I was super happy about that. But like, it's just going to look like really crappy. And my house is a mess. I hate it.
But why don't they just use the pictures from before? Like, I don't understand why they need new pictures. Just use the ones that you looked at when you were renting the place.
I agree. I don't know. Maybe they want nicer pictures taken. He was like, the owner was like, oh, they can like Photoshop stuff out. I'm like, okay, well, I also don't want people in my house, you know, especially with this whole thing. It's a crazy level of stress of thinking we're going to be moving and our lease is up in February and we're just like making plans. So that's harsh, but it's okay. How about you? What could you do without?
Well, first this is not what I was going to say, but I think you know this, that I haven't had an oven in like a little over a year.
Oh, that is some boo-hoo.
Yeah, so there was some kind of crazy thing with the gas line in my building over a year ago. It was like 2 Octobers ago, and they had to shut down all the gas. And in New York, everything, like the heat is done by gas too. And I guess they were able to go in and like fix the gas line for the heaters really quickly so we didn't all like freeze. But it's taken them over a year to fix the gas lines for the stoves. And, you know, part of that is because they were really gearing up in the spring and then COVID happened. And, you know, it was that thing of having people in your apartment. And it was a real like struggle to figure that out. Yeah. So they're theoretically supposed to be coming tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is fine, except for sometimes like my apartment's really big and like at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm asleep.
Right.
So they have to really knock on the door. I don't know. It's kind of like a stressful part of just like knowing that they're going to be here and hoping that I hear the door, and I don't want anything to go wrong with that. But it is stressful having people in your apartment right now. Like the last time that someone came from it, like he totally had his mask on. And then as he was talking, it was like down a little bit, down a little bit, down a little bit. And like by the time he was done talking, it was like around his neck. I was like, I'm just sort of backing up in the kitchen. And
that's not cool.
I turned an exhaust fan on. Yeah, it's so stressful. And so I'm worried about that tomorrow, but I guess, on the other hand, maybe I'll have an oven tomorrow and that'll be nice.
Which is so exciting. And then you can make Christmas dinner in an oven.
Yeah, we can like, I mean, I will say one of my roommate's mom sent us, I mean, calling it a toaster oven is underestimating how large it is because it's really big. Like you can actually like roast a chicken in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like we've been using it for several months now, but you know, it uses a lot of electricity. Also,
thanks, Mom.
Instead of a stove, they gave us all like hot plates. But if you plug the hot plate in and then like run the microwave or anything, it like the breaker goes off. So we've been dealing with that this whole time. So I'm hoping that ends. That wasn't what I was going to say. What I was going to say is, so I'm going to put this in there too. I just want everyone to like not take for granted we've had indoor dining in New York for the last couple of months and people are just not pleasant about it and not like grateful for it and very like, yeah, whatever, we're inside, it's fine. And now it's shutting down again. And I just sort of feel like I hope that we can all, I understand that this is aggravating and that we all want like our lives to go quote unquote back to normal again.
Yeah.
But I hope that, I know that we're humans. And so a certain percent of us are going to go back to just being a-holes eventually, I guess.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if we could take a moment as things do get better and like appreciate that and appreciate the things that we get to do. So so maybe I could just do without people taking things for granted.
I like that. I think restaurants are intense. People, especially people who have never worked in them,
right,
do not understand the stress that you're under as a server.
Yeah.
So I've I respect that.
So topic time.
Uh-oh.
So this topic I came up with because I was watching, I bought virtual tickets to this Jagged Little Pill, the musical live stream that happened.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't very expensive and it was for a good cause. So I was watching that and it just sort of, I was thinking about that album. I was thinking about Jagged Little Pill and like what a moment that was in music for so many, like anyone that's anywhere near my age, I feel like remembers the first time they heard that album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I'll forever remember like I-
Like the opening-
Yeah, that open, the chords that open it. And the silence when it, when you know why you're so petrified of silence, and like it was the quietest silence I'd ever heard in my entire life, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why are you so petrified of silence? Here, can you handle this? Did you think about your bills, your ex, your deadline?
And I'll always remember, like, I had it on CD, yeah. And I was playing it on a boombox next to my bed, and it got to the last number, and I could see that it was still playing. And I was like, what? The album's over, and it's still going. Oh. And then there was, like, the hidden track, and you can never do a hidden track anymore because we all buy our stuff digitally. So you can see, oh, there's another song that's going to play.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, exciting, and it was fun. And it got me thinking about music, and particularly music when you're young, because I do think as we get older, it's kind of harder for us to, like, not to sound like an old coot, but, like, I want to hear the songs I listened to growing up. And I make a really specific effort to try to listen to new music and follow new artists. But I was thinking about if you could, can you remember the first music, whether it was a tape or a CD or whatever, that you spent money on?
Yes. I have to think about that. Because I at first would just listen to what my parents had, you know?
Right.
And my parents liked music. They like loved, you know, I hate to say his name because barf, but Michael Jackson. They had every album of that. They loved like they loved all the big singers like Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey and Celine Dion. So I listened to that a lot. You know, I think one of the albums that I bought that I really loved. Okay, so I bought, I want to say it's called Mama's Gun, and it was Erykah Badu. And that I've actually bought that CD twice because I loved it so much, and I lost it or somebody stole it or something like that.
Dragging on them bags like that. I guess nobody ever told you. All you must hold on to is you, is you, is you. One day, all them bags.
Oh, it's just so good. And I love, I mean, I was obsessed with Erykah Badu. It wasn't even her first album, I think it was her second. But that's one that I can remember being really like moved by. It was like it was enough moody for my for that time in my life, you know. Oh yeah, it's the one that had Bag Lady on it. Anyways, I loved her. She's a poet, and I loved that wordy wonderfulness. And I also, you know, back in the day, I loved the Tori Amos too, and all that very angsty, wonderful, you know, chick music. Which I was thinking about it. You know, things are moving a little bit back towards that, but like where. When I was growing up in my like sort of teens, you didn't like being over sexy was not like, I mean, it was a thing, you know, there was Britney Spears and stuff like that. But like, otherwise you could still be like a ranting, raving lunatic like Alanis and like, you know, so many others. And it was like cool to be sort of like boy-ish. And I personally really was attracted to like strong females. I didn't love the pop stuff when I was younger. I like it now. I'm a total pop head. It's so fun for me. I'm like, I don't care. I just like, but I preferred like somebody I felt like they were not doing it for somebody else, not doing it for a guy, you know?
Right.
That's why I like Erykah Badu. Some people think she's a little too strange. I mean, she's a little strange now, but I still like her. I think she's fab. How about you?
So it's almost like a tie because the first thing that I spent money on would have been back in, wow, gosh, what was it like, Columbia House, where you like taped a penny to the thing and sent it back and they sent you like 10 CDs or something like that.
And then you go into debt.
Right, exactly. My dad was doing it and he let me choose one for myself. And I had just started to become interested in, I mean, I'd been like a fan for a while, but I had just sort of like really started getting into Madonna. But at that point, her most recent album would have been the I'm Breathless album, which was the album that was sort of inspired by Dick Tracy and has some Sondheim from Dick Tracy on it, but then ends with Vogue.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that I spent money on technically, but I remember waiting for it to arrive and going to Costco with my mom, and I bought Paula Abdul's Shut Up and Dance, which was like the remix album of her first Forever Your Girl album. So anyways, that was my old school music, was Madonna and Paula.
I love the Dick Tracy album. That is the Madonna one. So fun.
So there you go. I was just thinking about music, and I know we both love music, so I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
And like for mine, I was like, I don't think a lot of people bought that record or bought that album, Mama's Gun. Everybody bought the first one. God bless you, Erica. I love it. Ooh, guess what, guys? This is my favorite time of the night or day, depending on when you're listening to this. this is the Random Fact Hour, and it could be any kind of random fact. Yeah, it could be something helpful for other humans out there that are listening to this, or it could be just something interesting about us. I learned that one of our listeners was also in an elevator, by the way, because that was my random fact last year. Last week, also for 5 hours without a cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to say her name because I didn't ask if I could say this online or on the podcast, but she didn't have a cell phone, and it was just like, I think it was a really tall building. So the imminent fear of like possibly plunging to your death. Oh my God. Yeah. So
that is very scary.
Yeah.
Do you have a new random fact this week?
I do. Oh my God. Yes, I do. Sorry.
What's up? Well, I thought maybe the random fact was like about someone else.
No. No, my random fact is about, because I'm like thinking about moving and all these things. And I found out, did you know, in California, any death on a property, peaceful or otherwise, needs to be disclosed if it occurred within the last 3 years. And the seller must also disclose any death in the home if the buyer asks, or renter, past 3 years. So there could be some horrific, like double suicide murder or something 4 years ago. But if you don't ask, then the seller, they don't have to say, which is, I guess, fine. But so like you buy a house, you move in, and then like one of the neighbors, you know, you get all your stuff in, you're outside, they saunter over and they're like, man, I really thought they were going to bulldoze that place down after what happened there. You know, that's all I could think of.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that I just thought that was interesting. We had covered in Rom Crime the first season, we had covered a murder house that happened in the 50s here, that's like walkable from my house, and it was pretty disturbing what went down. But they don't have to tell people. But most people know because it's kind of a famous murder house up over in Los Feliz. But yeah. How about you? What's your random fact? And I hope that's helpful to people, so ask.
No, I like it. I didn't know the exact rules. I knew something of it because I feel like they actually sort of cover that on the first season of American Horror Story, where it is a murder house.
Oh, yeah. Also, it's different state to state.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I remember being, this is kind of creepy, but it was in this building, and it was a friend who used to live on the 7th floor, not you, a different friend that used to live on the 7th floor.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like sitting in her living room, and she was talking about how the roommate that had like been there before her had like, I'm going to say it fast, had like accidentally hanged himself. And I was like, that's crazy. That's so creepy. And she was like, yeah, it happened right there. And like pointed right next to me in the doorway. And I was like, ah. Anyway, it was very creepy.
How do you accidentally do that?
It's when you're trying to do something else with a...
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, it must be really good for people to get close to death for that.
I guess.
I think I might have to try it.
Let's try it. I'm just kidding. Don't try it.
Don't try that. Nope. Don't do it. Just do some normal.
It's really good, just normal.
Yeah, it's really good. Just, we recommend
it. If you do it right, I guess. I don't know. So my random fact has to do, actually, it came back to me because of the movie Mank that I was talking about. So we talked about how I worked in a movie theater, and for a while I was a projectionist. And the way that movies worked the way movies work now, a lot of it's digital. Like there's not even film that comes. It's all just done through, you know, regular, like random projection. But when I worked, they would send you reels, and each reel of film is approximately like 10 to 20 minutes long. And in any modern projection booth, you splice them all together into one huge reel that sits on a platter is what it was called. And it, so like the reel would sit like sort of on its side and you would have to weave it through the machinery and then onto another platter. And then the platters would move at the same time. And it would, so it would all kind of like happen seamlessly.
Wow.
But if you would watch a movie back in that era, and if you paid attention to it, you could see up in the right corner every like 10 to 14 to 20 minutes, a little black dot would flash. And then like 8 seconds later, a little black dot would flash again. So the point of those dots, they're called cue marks. And back in the day before we had these huge platters, actually my dad was a projectionist when it was like this. You actually had two smaller, like what you would think of as a normal film projector, pointing at the screen. And you would have one reel on one side that would be going and showing the film. And you'd have another reel on the other side that was all ready to go.
Ooh.
So the projectionist would have to watch. And when they saw that little black dot, the first one is called the engine cue. And I think the purpose of that was that you would turn on the engine on the second one. And then the second cue was called, oh my gosh, what was it called? Like the marker cue. I'm forgetting the terminology. But basically, that was the second that you had to then make the other projector take over. And it would start showing. And in the audience, you wouldn't even notice anything had happened because it would just seamlessly move to the next projector. And then while that was going, the projector would have to change the other projector and get the third reel going. And you'd go back and forth between those the whole time.
Oh, wow.
So it's not technology we even use anymore. But when you watch the movie Mank, you're going to see those marks up in the corner of the film as though it's a film being projected. They've like added that as like an homage to old school film. And it's such a silly little detail, but like it made my heart leap a little bit that I was like, oh, I know what that is.
And they don't like talk about it. You just, it's just like an Easter egg
it's
for
never
whoever
mentioned.
Knows what that is.
You might not even notice it if you're not, if you're not like paying close attention, you might not even realize it happens. But every like 15 to 20 minutes, that little marker flashes. And I just loved it. It was just like such a cool little detail that he included that I was super into it.
Sweet.
So there you go. Watch Mank.
I'll watch it. I'm going to have to drink a pot of coffee, but I'm going to
have some coffee first. Be awake and don't look at your phone. Like, watch the movie. It's dense, but I enjoyed it so much. I loved it. Can't say enough. There you go. Check it out.
Oh, great.
There you go.
Well, I love you.
I love you as well. It's always so good to talk to you and to hear your children playing in the background.
It's going
to
be fruitful in this episode. They're loud bathers. They like to bathe. No, I love talking to you every week as well. And I look forward to next week as well. We're going to keep going. Why not? Yes. It's the holidays. None of us are doing anything.
We're
going to
keep going.
Yeah.
Yo, what else am I doing? I don't have a job anymore.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Thank you. Tell a friend or something.
Yeah, do it.
Or not. Whatever. All right. See you next week. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not, with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCantNot@gmail. We'll be back next week. Also, really quickly on the topic of voices before, I was the kid that when I would answer the phone, they'd be like, is this Mrs. Jensen? Anyway, that's all.
They're like, is this Mr. Arslanian? I was like, let me get my dad. God.
I'll get my dad for you. Whatever.